Genesis chapter 41, we're continuing our teaching and preaching through this first book of the Bible, the book of the beginnings, smack dab in the middle of the life of Joseph. God is helping us from a life way back then, looking forward to our lives right now, in the middle of unprecedented circumstances, giving us practical principles and precepts from His Word that are exactly what we need. Nothing like the Bible. Genesis chapter 41 is where we are tonight, picking up in verse number 33. Now, therefore, verse 33, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Let the church say amen. Our Father, one more time, we gather here tonight, and as your vessel, I ask you to cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your Spirit. Help me to preach what thus saith the Lord. Help me to preach like this is my first time and could be my last time. Help me to give you my all. Help us to hear it and to heed it. Use the Bible to make us more like Jesus. In His precious name we pray. Amen. And the Lord was with Joseph. Let's say it together. Come on. And the Lord was with Joseph. One more time. And the Lord was with Joseph. Where? With his parents back home. Among his brothers. Yeah, and when they got mad with him because he dreamed something and said that he was going to rule over them, they threw him in a pit. The Lord was with Joseph. And when he got taken out of the pit and ended up in Egypt and at Potiphar's, the Lord was with Joseph. And when Potiphar's wife lied on Joseph and Potiphar threw Joseph in prison, the Lord was with Joseph. And when it looked like he should have gotten out of prison because of what he did for another prisoner, and yet he was forgotten and still in prison, the Lord was with Joseph. And when he was finally remembered and brought up out of prison because Pharaoh was in a bind, the Lord was with Joseph in the palace. My. And that's where we are right now. The consistency in the life of this young man. It seems to be a rarity anymore among believers. You can find Christians that are good for a little while. And they have these moments. And they have these spurs where they just happen for a flash to do right and to live for God. But then something goes wrong and their Christianity goes awry. Not Joseph. You just track him on and on and on and on. Circumstances change and surroundings change and those that are with him change and his environment changed and how he was treated changed and things took a turn for the worse and then things took a turn for the better. It didn't matter. His walk with God was consistent. When he got in the palace, he got there with a respectful composure. He made sure he looked the way he should look. He was going to see royalty. He got there based on his reputable character. Pharaoh had heard of him. Never met him, but heard of him. You live for God. People will hear of you. They may not have met you, but they'll hear about you. Your walk with God will travel. It'll spread like wildfire. By the way, when you don't walk with God, that spreads too. Reputable character. And then relayed content. First time meeting Joseph, Pharaoh tells him all his business, everything on his heart, all his problems, all the problems that his paid professionals, his magicians couldn't solve. the problems that only God could solve. Living for God will give you the opportunity to show other people just how great He is. He relayed the content, and last week, Joseph revealed the communication. God showed him what the dreams meant. Remember, Joseph said directly to Pharaoh, interpretations belong to God. He gave God the glory. Now, let me show you what God's going to do. And in so many words, he's saying to Pharaoh, look at God. Watch God work. Let me show you why I'm here. Let me show you why you heard what you heard. Let me show you how I'm living, how I live. Isn't that an opportunity? My soul, I want that to be said of me. I want those opportunities. I want to be able to look at lost people and other Christian people. I want to be able to look at the church members here at Crossroads Baptist Church and be able to say, let me show you what God is doing. Not show you me. Let me show you God working through me. Let me show you how I'm able to stand here. Let me show you how I'm able to persevere. Let me show you how I'm able to mount the pulpit. Let me show you how I'm able to deliver messages. It is God which worketh in me both to will and to do of His good pleasure. We are catalysts, folks. We have the opportunity to represent God. We have the opportunity to be salt in a bland world, light in a dark world. How are you living? How are you living? Are people seeing God in you? He interpreted the dreams. He explained to Pharaoh that those fat cows represent prosperous years, flourishing years. Those large stalks of corn represent flourishing years. The cows and the corn represent the same 7 years. The lean cows and the small stalks of corn represent 7 bad years. And you know exactly what was going to happen. The bad ears of corn and the lean cows were going to eat up the big ears of corn and the fat cows. And what he was simply saying is, you're going to have 7 great years that are flourishing, but they're going to be followed by 7 famished years. And they're going to make it seem like the good years never happened. This is what God is saying. God is speaking to you, Pharaoh. There's no way Pharaoh could have figured that out. And there's no way people can do what they need to do without God. We often say, how are people making it right now in this pandemic? How are they surviving, struggling financially? How are they surviving, going through physical difficulties? They're not. They may have oxygen in their lungs, but they're not surviving from the standpoint of moving forward with contentment and with profitability. Why? You cannot make it without God. And may our lives be a demonstration to people. You're not going to make it without God. Let me tell you, God is trying to speak. And right now, God is speaking, beloved. Verse number 33 is where we picked up tonight. It's what I've written down in my notes is reliable counsel. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh. Well, what's happening? This young man, we're going to find out he's about 30 years old, just got out of prison. He's got a criminal record. He just landed in the palace. He's a foreigner in the land. He's a stranger to Pharaoh. But get this. He's counseling him. He is counseling the most powerful man in the land. The head honcho. The top dog. How in the world does this stranger, this youngin, this criminal, if you would, counsel Pharaoh? I'll tell you, the Lord was with him. God's hand on your life will provide reliability to your counsel. And they saw that they were unlearned and ignorant men. Acts chapter 4. These apostles have not trained in the elite schools of our day. But they sure know what they're talking about. Why were they listening to Peter and John? They took knowledge of them that the Lord was with them. This stammering tongue that Moses had. Scared to death. And there he is standing with authority. Why is anybody listening to him? The Lord was with him. Elijah. Standing there, outnumbered. But fire comes down from heaven. The Lord was with him. Here comes this ruddy shepherd boy. He doesn't have armor. He's got a slingshot. How does Goliath fall? The Lord was with him. You want to know how to come up with the right answers for people? You want to know how to be able to answer people when they need help, they need guidance, they need direction? I'll tell you how. Walk with God. You don't need to have fingers that know how to Google real fast. You need to have a heart that's in tune with Almighty God. reliable counsel. Here's what you need, Pharaoh, an exceptional person. Look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land. You need someone with proven ability and someone that's going to be properly appointed. You got to find somebody discreet and wise. If you're going to be able to handle the 7 good years and the 7 bad years, you're going to need somebody that knows how to handle it. So you need an exceptional person. But you also need an efficient plan. Let Pharaoh do this, verse 34. Let him appoint officers over the land and take up the 5th part of the land of Egypt in 7 plenteous years. Here's what you need with this efficient plan. You need selected representatives. Get you officers and appoint them over 1/5 of the land. And then he says, not only do you need selected representatives, but you need stored resources. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come. Lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. So take your selected representatives and allow them to be responsible for storing your resources. During these 7 good years, you can't eat up all the food. You've got to store your resources because you've got to look ahead. This is an efficient plan, Pharaoh. Who's talking to him? This young whippersnapper with the criminal background that just got out of jail is standing before the Pharaoh in the land and telling him what to do. You can't beat the goodness of God with a stick. You can't beat character with a stick. Listen to me. You can't out-educate character. You can't out-qualify character. You can't out-credential character. I'm not saying you shouldn't study. I'm not saying you shouldn't go to school. I'm not saying you shouldn't train. I'm not saying you shouldn't work your way to the best certifications on your job. I'm simply saying there is nothing in life that will provide you more qualifications when it comes to giving reliable counsel than simply walking with God. So you need an exceptional person that can come up with an efficient plan. And he's going to show us an effective process. And that food shall be for store, verse 36, to the land against 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Here's this efficient process. What's going to happen? Saved food and a survived famine. Listen, the dream that you got, Pharaoh, gives you some bad news at the end of it. Nobody is looking forward to 7 years of famine. Here's what I'm telling you. If you'll listen to this counsel, you will save the food and you will survive the famine. Watch this now. Bad stuff will come, but it's not going to destroy you. Difficulty is going to surface, but it's not going to wipe you out. The famine is coming, but it's not going to be the end of Egypt and the end of the land. Isn't that the kind of counsel we need? There's safety in the multitude of counselors. Wise counsel. Don't you want to tell somebody something that doesn't necessarily say everything's going to be easy? But what it does say is that even though it's not easy, you make it. Let me tell you something. That's what God's word gives us. It gives us comfort to know that rain comes, difficulty comes, trials come. I'm here to tell you, my friend, tonight, we're in the middle of crisis right now, but I'm here to tell you, this word tells you, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You're going to make it. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. I am not a pastor here to tell you that every day is going to be easy and everything in your life is going to be a bed of roses and it's always going to be exactly what you want. But I am here to tell you that God's grace is sufficient and that you can be confident in the fact that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. You say, those are New Testament passages. I'm telling you, God is an everlasting God. Whether it's New Testament, Old Testament, or wherever, God was the same God in Genesis that he was in Philippians. And I'm here to tell you that Pharaoh is listening to Joseph, who is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is representing God in the land of Egypt, and may God give us some representatives that will line up with Christ like Joseph did in this land where we live today, to let people know bad news comes, but on the heels of bad news, God's got some good news. You can survive this famine. You can outlast this trial. You can thrive during this pandemic if you'll listen to the counsel from God. This embrace proposition, what does that mean? Pharaoh listened. Verse 37, the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Well, why don't you work on developing enough Christian character? Enough godliness seen in you by others that they'll listen to what you say. Oh, I'm a leader. I'm a leader. Is that what you said? I'm a leader. I've got leadership capabilities. I'm a natural leader. I like to be in charge. Listen to me. Being a leader is not just based on the fact you profess to have leadership capabilities. Being a leader, how do you know if you're a leader? Look behind you. See if anybody's following you. I've known a lot of people that were just talking, telling everybody what to do, but nobody was listening. The boy who cried wolf. Wolf. Oh, they listened at first. But after they found out he was crying wolf when there wasn't wolf, when there was a wolf, nobody listened. Are you wolfing? Are you a Christian that's just been wolfing? Just spouting off religious phrases and sanctified cliches, but lacking a true demonstration of God. So when people need God the most, they miss out because God is being represented by somebody that lacks consistency. How about a teenager? You want your friends to listen to you? Let them see God in you. How about a coworker? You want your coworkers to listen to you? Let them see God in you. How about a family member? You want those that don't go to church, that don't know God, you want them to listen to you when you start speaking up, when they have a crisis, when they have a marital situation, when they have a rebellious child, and they get on the phone and call you and say, hey, you go to church, you read the Bible, tell me something. You want them to listen to you? You live out God. Don't just tell them the Lord's with you. Let them be able to see that the Lord is with you. Reliable counsel. Look there one more time tonight at one more thing. And this is what I call a resounding choice. Remember the counsel of Joseph? You got to pick somebody that can handle this thing. You're going to have to assign servants that can carry out this thing. And if you pick the right guy, you choose the right servants, we're going to make it through this famine. It's all going to work out, Pharaoh. Look at verse number 38. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? The resounding choice. Write this down. A distinct candidate. Pharaoh's kind of having a staff meeting right now. He looks at the servant and says, fellas, is there anybody here that can rank with this guy? Can we find anybody in whom the Spirit of God is? Can you imagine a bunch of heathens having a staff meeting about one Christian? And everything they're saying is good. He's a distinct candidate. What makes him distinct? Well, he's got a divine composition. The Spirit of God's in him. But he's also got discerning character. Look what the Bible says. For as much as God hath showed thee all this. This is he's telling Pharaoh. He's telling Joseph now what they had discussed as leaders. For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Look, we got magicians over here. We got counselors over here. We got educated elitists over here. Ain't one of them as wise as you are. Can I break it down into a better way? All of these schools we got cannot rival the schooling you got directly from God. My granddaddy, who lived 103 years old, he used to say, I ain't go to college, but I got 5 senses. He had good old-fashioned common sense. In other words, he was saying, there's some things you can't get from school. You got to get from God's school. Jesus said, learn of me. Learn of me. And here's what they're saying about Joseph. We have watched you. We listen to you talk. You say stuff we never learned before. Isn't that like the Word of God? Christian, you walk with God. You live for God. You start speaking. People say, I got a PhD. I never heard that. I'm the boss around here. I'm in charge. I never heard that. Wow. A distinct candidate. Notice the deemed credibility about Joseph. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. The end of verse 39. Now verse 40. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. I deem you as credible. You gonna be in charge. Not my servants, not my assistants, not my longest tenured staff members, not all of my paid professionals. You. That walking with God stuff. That the Lord is with you stuff. Your reputation. Your character. It's earned you credibility. I deem you more credible than everyone else that should be competent, because God is with you. And the determined conclusion, verse 41. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see? It's almost like he's repeating, like he's trying to convince Joseph. I'm trying to tell you, I'm serious about this. See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. You, man. You. You in this foreign country. You, way away from home. You, mistreated by your brothers. You, thrown into a pit. You, set in Potiphar's house and set up by his wife. You, tossed into prison unfairly. You, working so hard that the head of the prison put you in charge. You, serving the baker and the butler. You, interpreting their dreams. You, being forgotten when the butler was restored. You, being remembered when I had a dream that my folks couldn't interpret. You, who just came out of prison and interpreted my dreams. You, who just gave me the best plan how to deal with those dreams. You, man, in whom is wisdom like we've seen in nobody else. You are the man that I need to pick. What is it that you're working so hard at? Where are you striving in your Christian life? What's taking up all your time during the week? What are you pouring most of your investment in? Are you working so hard at being good at stuff that isn't going to get you where you need to go? And are you working so little at investing in where it matters? What did you do today to walk with God? When you got up in the morning, before you jumped into your day, with the prospect of succeeding at this thing called life, when you woke up this morning to meet this pandemic again, to return to this new normal, to navigate this uncharted territory that the whole world is trying to work its way through simultaneously, what did you do to ensure the victory? Pick your clothes out? Check your Facebook? Put out a post? Work out? Walk the treadmill? Eat your Wheaties? There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But what about walking with God? Did you get up and meet Him this morning? Well, I'll do that as soon as the crisis comes. I'll run to God as soon as some difficulty arises. Well, I get bad news on the phone, I'll hit my knees. I get into a bind, I get stuck in a quandary, I'll run to Jesus just like the disciples did when that boat was tossing and turning. Here's what I'm asking. How can you predict which day you're going to need a word from God? Who knows when somebody's going to call on you for a need, a dire need? And you ain't going to have time to go look up stuff. Go guess that stuff. There's too much at stake. There's some things that can only come from a bona fide, genuine walk with God. Joseph didn't turn it on when he got to the palace.
it had been on since Genesis 37. And here's the danger. If your walk with God is not on right now, there's no telling what travesty and tragedy is waiting ahead of you today or tomorrow. When, Christian, when, W-I-N, when the victory, wherever you are, it's not by education, it's not by money, it's not by who's who, it's not by personality. You win because the Lord is with you. Other people will pick you for the job because nobody has God on them like you. Father, help us. Help us. Help us to have a walk with you that qualifies us for opportunities. I want people to see you in me every day, moment by moment. My family, my friends, my foes, those that I don't even know, they're watching and they're facing crises. They're looking for answers that work. But they're also looking for somebody to show them how to work those answers. Joseph got that opportunity because you were with him. Give all of us those chances to be that choice because you're with us too. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you somebody's pick? Are you somebody's pick to carry out a successful plan? I hope you are. There's one way to be that pick. Let God be seen in your life. 2020 vision, say with me. Christ shall be magnified. One more time. 2020 vision, Christ shall be magnified. I'm here to tell you that you can win, believer. One day at a time, get up and meet God every morning. Develop your relationship with Him. The sky is the limit to how far it will take you. Have a great week on purpose. I look forward to seeing you Sunday morning, 11 o'clock. Come on out and be with us. You'll enjoy the presence of God in His house. Until then, I'm praying for you, and I love you.